I think he's a tagline for Ice Age, and it's literally, Ice Age is coming. It's like Ted is coming. That's great.
What's up? This is Movies On Up. Ice Age is coming. My co-host seated next to me is cool as ever. That's too much. But that's true, because you've got like a gaggle of kids running around down there. That is Mr. Dave.
That's me. We're off to a cold start.
That's Mr. Dave. I am Ryan. We are Movies On Up. Ice Age is coming is our tagline for this week, and an appropriate description of, I guess, probably what's going to happen here in about 3 hours once I leave. If you think you know what movie that comes from, send your guess to us in one of the following ways. You can get us via the email, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can send your guess to us via Twitter, @moviesonup on Twitter, or leave it on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup. If you are correct in identifying what movie Ice Age is coming comes from, and it's not really difficult, it's Ice Age, if you happen to put that together, and if we choose you, we will send to you a prize package, which will take about an Ice Age to get to you, but I promise it will. This week, kind of went down a little bit of a rabbit hole. F. Gary Gray's The Fate of the Furious hits theaters this week, which I feel like is the eighth. It's the eighth?
It's the Fate one.
Yeah, the Fate, eighth one. The eighth in the Fast and Furious movies. And it will be continuing a streak of 8 Fast and Furious movies, which I have not seen, and neither has Dave. So we really couldn't do a Fast and Furious movie. Weren't thinking about a top 5 Vin Diesel. I would have been open for a top 5 Rock.
I think we've done 5 The Rock.
We probably have, because I really like him.
I think when Fast 7 came out, we did the cast.
I think we did
the cast and the Furious.
Yeah, yeah, because I think I snuck Southland Tales on there.
And I'm still angry about it.
But Dave had decided he wanted to do an F. Gary Gray movie, which was a great idea. He's got a lot to pick from. And Straight Outta Compton was what he had sort of circled. And just as a joke, I kind of threw out, we should do Friday, because I really like that movie. Dave had never seen it before. So I thought, damn it, that's a sign. We've got to do Friday. So we did. And here it is. F. Gary Gray's 1995, I'll call it a classic, featuring Ice Cube, Chris Tucker, and Nia Long. It opened number 2 in the box office April 28th, 1995, with $6.5 million. While You Were Sleeping was number 1 with $10.4 million. Bad Boys at number 3, I think in its 4th or 5th week, had made $4.3 million, followed by Rob Roy and Village of the Damned, to round out your top 5. Friday went on to gross $27.4 million domestically, which is good, for 2,655th place on the all-time domestic list. Not 3 spots, just 1 spot behind Sidney Pollack's 1975 CIA thriller starring Robert Redford.
That's too old for me.
It is 3 Days of the Condor. I did my best to lead you to that. And 1 spot ahead of the Omar Epps Sana Lathan appropriately titled movie about love and basketball.
Love and basketball.
Love and basketball.
You have to
it
give
is.
Me that once I love basketball. Dope ass movie. Love it.
Solid movie. Didn't make as much money at the theaters as Friday did. Sitting just 9 spots ahead of Friday is the best picture winner from this year, La La Land. I mean, Moonlight. Certainly one of those two is 9 spots ahead. We'll let you figure it out. In sort of a classic case of franchise momentum or starting a franchise, Friday ranks 3rd in the Friday movie trilogy, $6 million behind the 3rd entry, which I believe is
Friday After Next.
Yes, and I believe that was PG-13. And a scant $30 million behind Steve Carr's follow-up Next Friday. This one in 1995, very, very, very early for just about everyone involved. It was F. Gary Gray's first feature. He'd go on to do some music video stuff, but some really, really cool movies after that. And I think he's kind of one of the more under-the-radar directors that we have out there. The Negotiator, A Man Apart, The Italian Job, one of Dave's favorites, Be Cool, as well as the Oscar-nominated Straight Out of Compton, right?
His career goes in, like, it's weird. It went in, like, phases, because he kicks off with Friday,
yeah.
Set It Off in The Negotiator. Those were all between 95 and 98. Then doesn't do another movie until Man Apart and It's Italian Job were the same year. Be Cool was just a couple years later. Law Abiding Citizen in 2009. And then nothing till Straight Out of Compton. So he's had a couple 5-year breaks in there. That's a solid resume. Like, that's a good resume.
Absolutely. That's the kind of resume that, to be honest with you, I didn't realize that F. Gary Gray had. I knew he had directed Friday, and obviously when Straight Outta Compton came and got critical appreciation, but not awards appreciation.
Which is still...
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's silly.
It is ridiculous, and I'm not going to harp on the Oscars too much. I'll give
from
them...
From 2 years ago.
A week. Yeah, I know. I'll just make that one passive-aggressive comment. But you're going back and looking at the filmography that this guy has. It's like, well, shit. How is he not, like, a bigger name? Because these movies, like, I mean, he's directed Samuel L. Jackson. Like, he's directed giant movie stars.
I mean, The Negotiator was Kevin Spacey and Samuel L. Jackson at a time when they were both big time. Mm-hmm. Kevin Spacey was fresh off an Oscar win for Usual Suspects, and I think it was right before American Beauty, but... You know, Man Apart was when Vin Diesel was breaking out as a movie star.
Yeah, when Vin Diesel was going to lead serious movies, and Man Apart wasn't great.
But it was watchable for a Vin Diesel movie in that era.
Yes.
The Italian Job, not great, but for a Marky Mark, I think Jason Statham, like,
I actually
heist
think
movie,
Italian Job is really good.
See, I'm just not into that.
I'm not either, but I think that one's kind of underrated a bit, like the director.
Yeah, and then Law Abiding Citizen is a ridiculous, stupid movie, but tell me you can't watch it and just have a blast. He leaves nothing on the table there. Like, he goes for it, and it's an insane ride of a movie. It's ridiculous.
It'll make you stick around.
It's absolutely ridiculous. Straight Outta Compton was great. The performances, mm-hmm. the pacing, he covers a lot of ground in there.
In it a story that I think is still so contemporary to so many people, that if it's not authentic, there's so many people that are seeing that movie that lived through that music. And if he doesn't do a good job, people are going to know. He's not going to be able to hide.
Yeah. After Straight Outta Compton, he was pretty much in a position to do. Yeah. I think his name was thrown around for Black Panther. Like, he was getting thrown around to, like, he could do almost anything he wanted.
Yeah.
And he went with this, which I can't fault
him. It's a giant franchise.
It's going to make $1 billion.
And it is, too. And from there, I hate to say it, and I don't mean to disparage the Furious movies, because they do...
They do what they're doing. They're at 8.
What people want to see, they do well. But this might be the movie, not Straight Outta Compton, but this might be the movie that F. Gary Gray becomes like a...
Well, he's got
the cliche, but a household name.
He's got
now.
The critical acclaim.
Yes.
This will give him the...
The box office, yeah.
The box office. So, like, Justin Lin transitioned it into... I think James Wan did the last one. So, I mean, they're... It's a good jumping off point to where it's turning directors into household names. Well, maybe not household names, but getting jobs that are household names.
It's sort of being able to, like you said, from Straight Outta Compton, he could kind of pick whatever he wanted from there. And he did pick a hugely successful franchise, which he'll probably do a great job with. But yeah, now literally he can make anything he wants because he's shown that his movies can be, and I mean, Straight Outta Compton, it's not like that didn't make any money.
I mean, it made $100 million
yeah.
on a not $100 million budget.
Exactly. So, I mean, I think at that point, like, he's pretty much jumped through all the hoops that you'd have to jump through in Hollywood to be able to write your own ticket.
I compare him, when you talk about, like, underrated directors who probably don't think they have the resume they have until you actually look deeper, Antoine Fuqua. I think is even more underrated than F. Gary Gray. You get from the director of Training Day on his movies, whereas Antoine Fuqua has had so many hits that it should be an Antoine Fuqua movie at this point. But
$161 million for Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah, on a, I'd assume a $30 or $40 budget.
$28 million, but still, obviously that made a ton of money. Like I said, with Straight Outta Compton and its authenticity, with that, because, you know, we did grow up with that music. That was kind of right in our wheelhouse for people that are the same age as Dave and I. I did not grow up in the hood. Grew up on the mean streets of Greenford, Ohio. But this movie always seemed very authentic to me. It had the vibe of what I can only assume what it's like in a black neighborhood. And then I found out that it's because F. Gary Gray actually went to his old neighborhood in L.A. in Crip gang territory and shot the movie there.
It feels natural. And I'm glad you brought that up, because when I'm watching this movie for the first time, I'm big on world building. And this absolutely builds that neighborhood.
That neighborhood, absolutely.
It all takes place in the one neighborhood over the course of a day.
Like, but, a block.
But yet this universe is built. Mm-hmm. And what's so great is it's not, I don't know how to word my point. Like, Boys in the Hood, it has the hood as this terrifying,
yes,
scary place, mm-hmm, to where you don't want to go, which is accurate.
Yes.
But what Friday does is it takes you into that same kind of neighborhood, but people live there. This is where people live.
How do you exist amongst, and it's not like there wasn't bad stuff happening in this neighborhood. There were drugs being sold. There were shots being fired. There was a giant ass bully roaming the neighborhood, whooping people's asses and taking their grandmama's chains.
Break-ins just casually. Like,
that too, yeah.
It sets it up to where, yeah, this is the same kind of neighborhood that's in Boys in the Hood, but it's not from the this is dangerous perspective. It's from the this is home. This is the people that live there. This is life to them. This is not viewing it from the outside. Like, it's Chris Tucker and Ice Cube sitting on the front porch all day in a neighborhood where drive-bys aren't uncommon.
And I think that authenticity comes from a guy, the director, that, you know, grew up in that very specific neighborhood. And you have the movie that's written by Ice Cube and DJ Pooh, guys that were from, you know,
straight out of Compton.
That's what I've heard. I've heard he's a crazy fellow named Ice Cube. They had all these experiences to draw from. And those experiences, there may not have been a Debo, but I'm sure that, like, they knew a bunch of dudes that they were able to roll into Debo. So it gave you these really vibrant characters that makes Friday, like you said, not just Ice Cube and Chris Tucker sitting on a porch. It's kind of an ensemble movie.
It is, because of the world and of the universe that they built. And what I like so much is, it's where I was going with my last point, but I forgot by the time I got there, is they humanized it so much, and they made it feel like just two dudes sitting at their house, and where, like, I didn't grow up in that kind of neighborhood, but a lot of it felt nostalgic to me, because a lot of it felt like there would be days my friends and I would just sit on the front porch, or I had friends in my neighborhood that we would just walk back and forth to each other's houses, like, I gotta take a dump at my house, and, like, stuff like that. Like, it felt natural. Like, it felt like, yes, you may not be able to relate to that neighborhood, but you can relate to that situation.
That lifestyle to a certain...
They're 20-some-year-old kids. Like, they're 22. Like, it's not just high school kids. I like that it portrayed them as that.
Right. They were out of high school, so they didn't really have anything to do. They didn't really have jobs. Right. So, okay. This is not a coming-of-age story. They're not in high school, so get all that crap out. I mean, what kind of story is this? This is a self-contained, like...
It's a bottle episode.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, it's just the crazy adventures that happen on this one day in this one neighborhood. Right, yeah. Friday in this neighborhood, so to speak. Where that could be boring if you're just necessarily following two characters, by branching out, and you see Bernie Mac as the preacher that rolls up. He's great. John Witherspoon kills in this movie.
He's very much John Witherspoon.
Yes, he is.
He's perfect.
This is what you expect him to do every time you see him on camera, because he's great at doing that. And I think Debo, the way he's treated in this movie, he's shot and the music cues, he's like the shark from Jaws. That's what kind of force of nature Debo is. And I think he's a fantastic villain for this. You know, these guys are, they're grown-ass adults, but they're basically kids because they're just screwing around all day, and he's like a childhood neighborhood bully on steroids.
Yeah, Tiny Lester did the same thing in a lot of his movies, but this one they gave him a lot of room to work, and he got to do more, and I thought it was great. And we keep going back to them, they're like 20-some-year-olds. This came out in 95. I'd have been, I don't know, 15-ish. So, like, I look at Ice Cube as, like, oh, they're adults.
Yeah.
So, like, even now, like, you know how there's people that are close to your age and you just have always seen them as adults? They look the same. So, like, I look at Ice Cube and that's the only thing that I had trouble with in this movie is placing him as a 22-year-old kid. I just couldn't because he's always been an adult to me, mm-hmm. but he does it so well. Like, he's still good in this movie. Obviously, it spawned three, and,
yeah.
you know, he was in Boys in the Hood, and Higher Learning, I think, was after this, but he had parts and stuff around this, but, I mean, we're 22 years later, and Ice Cube is still a massive movie star.
Yeah, I mean, I would argue, and maybe I would argue incorrectly, but to me, this is where Ice Cube, as a, like, movie star, like,
this
a guy
is,
that
this
can...
legitimized
him. Right, that can lead a movie, and maybe a more accessible movie. I mean, it was a comedy and not so specific to like the hood necessarily. I mean, if you look at even Boys in the Hood, he's wearing the same outfit in Friday at the beginning and the end of the movie. That's his Boys in the Hood outfit. Yeah. You know, he's gone on to do, you know, a bit like F. Gary Gray, who started with this movie and now he's directing a franchise that's made billions of dollars, and this movie's probably going to make 300 easily, if not 400. You look at Ice Cube, and he's a guy that has made over $1.5 billion at the box office. Being a rapper in NWA to making $1.5 billion, you've got your ride-alongs and your barbershops, headline multiple franchises.
Yeah.
Those movies combined, that's like $421
million. I mean, between three Fridays,
yes.
two barbershops, or...
I think there was three, and then like
and
that
spinoff,
which he just had
shop.
A cameo in. Yeah.
But then now ride-alongs.
One and two.
Triple X handed him a franchise, mm-hmm. but I mean, I'm not going to fault him for that. Yeah. He comes back in the new one, but like, are we there yet? Had
yes.
a sequel. Like, yeah. he's done...
Great in the Jump Street movies. Those are the
yeah.
top two grossing ones
yeah, like,
for him. But
he's done... Star Boys in the Hood. That's not a stretch. Like, I
no.
think of the guy from NWA. Trespass, he's really good in that, but he's a gangster that's trying to find treasure in an abandoned warehouse. Higher Learning, he's kind of the same thing. And then Friday was like, oh, this is a movie star.
He's not a gang member in this movie.
This isn't just a rapper right. that we can put in these kind of movies, and he's competent. This is him carrying the number two movie in America mm-hmm. and writing it.
That too, yeah.
And then he went Anaconda. That's a bigger budget movie.
Right.
And then Three Kings, I think, was kind of the turning point of like, oh, Ice Cube's like he's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, I think him going up with Clooney and Wahlberg there
yeah.
and him getting a respected director, two respected actors, and then putting Ice Cube like with them, like that's the four main players in that movie. I think that's when people started to realize like, oh, this dude's not going anywhere. And he's just kept going. You know, he's had his family franchises. He's had his one-off action movies. He's done it all. His career is very similar to The Rock, I think, because they came from where you
outside
don't...
of
yeah.
actor. Yeah.
Yeah. They came from somewhere where people have tried before and some have had some success,
right.
but whereas like they've surpassed it to where like, you almost forget where they came from. Now Ice Cube is
yeah, I mean,
Ice Cube.
If you ask, and I'd be curious, you know, if you ask a 15-year-old.
Who's Ice Cube?
Yeah. Do they say actor or rapper first? And I feel like kids nowadays probably would say actor first. Oh, that's the guy from Ride Along, or that's the guy from Fist Fight,
yeah.
or... you know, whatever. I do find that fascinating. And one of the things that I love the most, and I didn't really get a full appreciation of it until I saw Straight Outta Compton, is you have F. Gary Gray obviously directing both movies. And then in Straight Outta Compton, there's this scene where Ice Cube's son, wearing Ice Cube's outfit, is writing Friday. I just thought that was like such a meta thing for that particular moment. Because, you know, this is the story about NWA. But in writing Friday, it's also part of the story of the guy that's directing the movie about these other guys. And I just thought that's kind of like a
full circle moment.
Yeah, exactly. Which it didn't fully dawn on me, even knowing, sitting down to watch that movie, knowing that this guy had directed O'Shea Jackson's dad years and years ago, I didn't put it together until you actually see that scene. And then it is sort of the snake eating its tail. And it just kind of blows my mind a little bit that's where we've come from, where the guy that wrote Friday that we saw in the mid-90s, he now has a biopic about his life. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, and to go back to that, like O'Shea Jackson, just to go back to Straight Outta Compton again for a second, like a big thing when you get a big movie like that is the cast is key. And I think you can tell a lot about a director by their cast. And look what Straight Outta Compton did. Like O'Shea Jackson is getting big time roles now. Corey Hawkins is getting big time roles,
leading
a TV show.
TV series.
Jason Mitchell is getting big time. All three of them, any of them could have got an Oscar nom, and nobody would have batted an eye.
None of them did.
No, I think Mitchell, it's a shame that he didn't. But like those three, like those are guys that they kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, granted,
well,
Ice Cube's son.
Yeah, O'Shea Jackson didn't come out of nowhere.
But you don't think of him as an actor.
Right.
Like, they made him audition for this. He had to go through the process.
To play his dad.
Yeah, and I mean, they treated it. Ice Cube was the hardest on him. Ice Cube said, like, you're going through everything. Mm. And he won the job. And when you watch the movie, you understand why. And if it was just, okay, O'Shea Jackson's in Straight Outta Compton and then nothing else, it seems like a gimmick. But, like, he got actors that are going on to do things.
But another,
even
you know,
Friday.
Great. Yeah.
Regina King.
Yeah.
Neil Long. They're still around. Mm-hmm. You know, Chris Tucker. He went on to headline movies.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that says a lot about a director because he's not just picking Leo DiCaprio. Even
Italian Job had a hell of a cast. It's not just, you know, one like Russell Westbrook and a bunch of dudes.
Yeah. Yeah. You can tell a lot about a director on what they can do. If you can take people that are pretty much coming out of nowhere and deliver, and then they go on to do stuff, you found them. You know, you're Carson Daly discovering Smash Mouth. Like, you did this world
great
service.
Yeah. Kind of another thing that didn't dawn on me till, and I mean, I've seen Friday a handful of times. It's one of those ones that it's a remote stopper for me. If I run across it, I generally will sit through it. It is a comedy, absolutely. And it's still today makes me laugh. But I almost can't help but get that Western vibe from it. High Noon specifically, Gary Cooper spends most of the movie worrying about this train that's carrying an ex-con that's said very specifically, this train comes in at noon. I'm going to get off the train. I'm going to go downtown. I'm going to shoot you in the street. You're going to die. You have kind of Smokey and Craig sweating this $200 that they don't have, knowing that the worm's going to come around at 10 o'clock, and if you don't have his money, he's going to shoot you. So to me, it felt very much like a Western. You're just waiting for that stroke of the clock.
And I love how real it felt. It wasn't your typical, like, oh, they owe the mob $50,000.
Yeah, it's $200.
They owe a drug dealer $200. But in their world, in that neighborhood,
it may as well have been 50 grand.
In their spot of life, $200 is a lot of money. Like, it's not just something you go grab.
Right. Nobody had it. They asked everybody they knew.
No, and it doesn't play like a comedy, I don't think. It doesn't play up the laughs. I think the laughs come naturally. It's not shot. It's not filmed. I don't know how to word it. I don't think
there are moments that it is a comedy. When Smokey's taking a shit on the side of the house.
That guy is really overplaying it. He's funny.
That's comedy. But then when after they've exhausted basically all their options and Craig gets the gun and his dad
has a really good scene.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not a comedy. Like that is some serious stuff that gets, and it doesn't feel out of place in this movie.
No.
It's a complete...
It doesn't feel out of place because it's not played as a comedy up to that point.
But it is like a pretty stark tone shift, but it doesn't
but
come...
it feels natural.
Yes, it does.
Because
it doesn't
fight.
Right.
It's not played for laughs.
No.
It's a legit fight.
Right, that is a street fight.
It'd be easy to have Tiny Lester fighting Ice Cube and make it a joke.
Right.
No, it's a street fight. There's people watching it. The tone of it, there is a tonal shift, but it works because it doesn't commit to a tone other than just this is life.
And it doesn't feel like the transitions they're smooth. It's not like somebody's just popping gears in a stick shift and the car's jerking around everywhere. This did feel, and I give a lot of credit to F. Gary Gray as a great director, being able to go from, you know, a scene where Bernie Mac gets chased out of the house. Tony Cox shows up, this miniature fella, and he's going to beat the shit out of Bernie Mac.
He's running scared for his life.
Right.
Like,
hilarious. And then, you know, you have a scene where even Red's talking about, like, getting all his shit stole by Debo. Like, that's, you know, it's funny because when he gets punched, he's like knocked into the air, but like he's really upset that like that's his. My grandmama gave me that chain.
Other than the one crackhead dude, I don't feel like anybody comes off like a cartoon character.
Yeah,
like even Chris Tucker, who is being very Chris Tucker, feels natural. Like. I know people that are like that. Like
everybody had that friend that was kind of like that would run his mouth, and that would be the guy that would get
you
in trouble.
Tiny Lester Jr. Like easy to make him a cartoon character, and that is, oh, this big dude is the bully. No, there's a lot of good about this movie. You know why I haven't seen it? Why it took 22 years for me to see it?
No,
I thought it was a weed movie. Oh. I legit thought it was just a movie about getting high, and it's not.
It's, no,
that's a part of it, but it's not. And I hate that Jim Brewer movie that came out within a year or two of this. I like How High with Method Man and Red Man, but that's like the only like weed movie I like. And I thought this was just a weed movie, and it's not. And F. Gary Gray is a large part of that. I mean, it would have been easy to take a lesser known director with a rapper and say, hey, really play up the weed stuff in this. Like, let's we have ourselves a drug comedy. But they didn't, and I like that about it.
Half-baked, the weed movie. That's I was going to say. Maybe we have both suffered from damage, but no, that's not the case. Just completely blanked. Yeah, I mentioned that it's a remote stopper for me. Friday is. It's been on HBO recently, and that's where I had rewatched it. And as I'm watching it, it sort of made me wish I was watching it on basic cable, which I'll catch it on like USA or something like that, like in the middle of the day on like a Saturday. And it is one of those movies like The Big Lebowski, a bit like Major League, where the TV edits are so bad that it brings me joy. As much as I love hearing, you know, somebody drop the F-bomb, I like it even more when Chris Tucker's bent over the prone body of Debo and he says, "You just got knocked the hell out," because it's so obvious.
His mouth is so how Chris Tucker talks.
Yes.
It's basically subtitles when he talks.
He enunciates every
you
syllable
can read every word
perfectly. Yes, you can. If I had never been able to hear and had no lip reading skill, I think I could put two and two together on that one. But I love those. Smokey's back there. What do they say? Taking a dump, I think. Or no, taking a squat is what they say. So at least that starts with an S, so it's kind of close. But yeah, this is just one of those movies that I love watching on basic cable because it's still just as funny without the language. There's nothing from a violent standpoint that they have to take out. So you really get kind of the same experience, if you just minus some of the F-bombs, which...
Have you seen the other two?
I have seen the second one. I saw it once. And it was all right. It just doesn't stick with me the way.
That's the kind of thing. Like, I saw it for the first time. I liked it. Yeah. I really liked Friday. I have no interest in seeing the others. I think as a self-contained thing, I'm perfectly fine with my Friday experience ending.
I think that's the thing. Like, I did see the second one, and I may have seen it in theaters. But I remember not being so enthralled with it, and I just go back to the original. And, like, for me, that's enough. That's fine. The fact that there are two more. They're not as good as the first one, in my opinion. I haven't seen the third one, but it doesn't make me like Friday any less. And there's nothing I feel like I need from those movies. Like you said, Friday as a one-off episode of something, or basically a movie in a bottle, like, I think it's fine. The story's wrapped up for what it is. Like, that day's over.
By the time Next Friday came out, that was 2000. Mm-hmm. Chris Tucker's headline in movies. Smokey's not even in the second one, is he?
I don't think so. I think he's got another buddy that he's hanging out with.
Mike Epps.
If I remember, plays a little bit like Smokey.
Mike Epps is Day-Day.
I certainly didn't need it. I mean, I was willing to see it because of how much I enjoyed the first one. In 2000, I think I was 16, so what the hell else was I going to do? Except try and sneak into an R-rated movie, apparently.
Yeah, I didn't realize Smokey wasn't in either of the next two.
To be fair, like, Smokey is not my favorite part of Friday. Like I said, I love the ensemble of it. I love Felicia. Bye, Felicia. And then when
I never knew where that came from, honestly.
Nobody knows. It's like one of those things that it's such a part of the popular. You don't know where it came from.
Like the second she shows up and her name's Felicia, it's like, oh, this must be where that came from. And then he says it.
Certainly. Like, okay. It absolutely is. I have one next week in our episode that's one of those things that's in the culture and you don't know where it came from, but here's where it came from.
Romancing the Stone.
It is not, although that does make my list.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert.
Mine too.
Number five. So we'll get that straightened around. But hearing in Straight Outta Compton, Ice Cube's son say bye, Felicia. I thought, like, I actually laughed out loud. I mean, that whole scene's kind of ridiculous anyway. But knowing that, oh, that's a Friday callback. Like, I loved that. And that comes across in the basic cable version. You get to see that.
Yeah. But I mean, like.
But that's my favorite part of that movie. So the fact that I don't have Smokey in two, I'll still go see it.
I like Smokey. I like Chris Tucker. He was really good in this.
He was good.
Nia Long, gorgeous. She is stunning. She, to this day, like, looks just as good as she did 22 years ago.
She looks the same. Her and Ice Cube look the same.
And so does Regina King.
Yeah.
Like, you see, like, there's so many good people in this movie that are still doing good stuff that still have great careers, and it's just a great all-around cast.
Yeah, absolutely. So you liked the movie then?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So this was one of those ones that I made you watch, and you're like, ah, damn it.
Yeah. It was different than I thought. Literally thought it was just a weed movie, and it's like, how is it going to top How High? But it wasn't, and it didn't have to.
I tend to forget. I mean, I think Smokey obviously smokes. That's where he gets the name from, but like,
Ice Cube smokes a little bit, and it's funny because it was like my first time smoking weed. Like, it captured that.
Right.
That's why I said there's a lot about this movie that's nostalgic, that a lot of the same, crawling in through windows and stuff. Like, I did that kind of crap in my neighborhood. Like, there's just...
And talking shit about people. Yeah.
The neighbor. Yep. Like, watching the neighbors when you know they're going to fight, and just sitting on the porch, not even hiding, just laughing. Like, those are some of my favorite scenes, is when Mrs. Parker and Tony Cox are fighting.
Yeah, he throws all her
and
stuff.
And they're just sitting on the porch right across the street, just laughing.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just like, I've been there. I've done that. That's funny to me.
And, you know, if you can write a movie that is so specific, it takes place in a very specific kind of neighborhood, and, you know, somebody that grew up in a neighborhood not anything like that can relate to it, then I think you've got something that is...
It's not a hood story. No. It's not a weed story. No. It's a neighborhood story. And everybody's lived in a neighborhood, except for farmers.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't have...
people in Greenfield.
Yeah, we did not have a neighborhood.
My favorite part.
I mean, I had a really good friend that lived across the street, but I had to get on my Debo bike and ride about 2 miles to get to my other friend's house, and that sucked.
My favorite part, I don't know why it's sticking out to me now, Nia Long's at the house, Ice Cube's being all weird. She's like, are you high? No, why? You look high. And he just starts, like, messing with his shirt, brushing off his jeans and brushing off his shoulders, and then just says, like, do I still look high? High as hell. Just, do I still look high? And she's just like, no, you look fine.
Because it was his clothes. Yeah, it was his clothes that was giving him away. 100%.
It was so funny. Like, that's such a good... It felt like a high school movie. Like, these dudes feel like high school kids, but they're not. And I just love that angle was played. There's a lot I liked about this movie.
Good. I'm glad. It's one of those ones that I think for me, it still holds up. I still enjoy watching Friday as much as I did. I don't even know when the hell I would have saw it first. I probably saw it on cable one day and was like, it's pretty funny. Like I said, I can do without the sequels, but I just can't wait to see more of F. Gary Gray, basically.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to see where he goes from here. Because like I said, after you have a hit where you make $160 million on $30 million and you get critical acclaim, even though it didn't have the award love that it should have.
Yeah.
Black Panther, his name was brought up there. Fast and the Furious, that's a good job to get, because you're going to make $1 billion and chances are they'll bring him back if he wants to.
Yeah.
But if not, he's got a $1 billion movie under his bed and
it's the
critical darling. Yeah. So yeah. I'm interested to see where he goes from here, because all his movies up to this point, even though I don't like them all, they're good for what they are. And I just kind of want to see where F. Gary Gray goes when he can do whatever the hell he wants.
Next week, you know where we're going. We're going on a bit of an adventure in search of movies, or like What was it? Is In Search Of or like On the Hunt For?
I'll explain that next episode.
Very good. But you know that Romancing the Stone is on both of our lists unless Dave decides to change it in the span of a week, because I'm certainly not going to do that.
I mean, I'll change it by next week.
I write it in pen. So stick around next week to find out what the hell an In Search Of movie is.
And if you know why, tell us, because I have no idea.
Well, Dave, you are on the clock. You've got a week to figure it out. But until then,
keep it up. I went long on that one.
And you know this.